Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
I'm going to preach the word to you because I don't have too many original thoughts or ideas. I just got the Bible, okay? So I'm just going to read the Bible the whole time. No, I'm kidding. I'll share a few thoughts, but I won't keep you for too long. I'm going to be reading out of Romans chapter 4. Who brought their Bibles to church this morning? The real thing? Yeah, I see those phone lights shining at me. I see those pretend Bibles that live on your phone. There's nothing wrong with Bible apps, okay? There's nothing wrong with YouVersion, nothing wrong with Blue Letter Bible. I use that stuff in some of my own personal reading and study, going through my devotional plan. That stuff's important. You can carry it with you in your pocket. But I don't think there's anything that can like live up to and beat a nice, relatable paper Bible that you can like turn the pages on, that you can bring your pen to church and like underline words. You try underlining on your phone with a pen and you might break your phone. You don't want to do that. But bring your pen, bring your notepad, bring your real Bible to church, and you'll get so much more from it. I'm telling you. You can build a relationship with this little bad boy. Build a relationship with your Bible. Find one. That I got to be careful because relational talk. I talk about something that feels nice in your hand, something that you can. Sorry, man, that was offensive. Coming out the gate strong. Get a paper Bible and relate to it. Build a relationship with it. It will be good for your world. Okay, Romans 4. Who's there? Good. I'm glad. A couple of you are there. We're getting there together. Don't worry. It's up on the screen. And right at the top of your notes, before you write Romans 4, if you already have, just write over top of it, faith in the midst of frustration. That's the title of my message this morning, faith in the midst of frustration. Romans chapter 4, and the message is all about faith. The start of it, in verse 3, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Talking about belief this morning. So verse 13, that's where the reading's starting. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Everyone say faith. For if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless. I'm here to tell you this morning, the promise is not worthless. Faith has value. Your belief system is valuable to your life, is valuable to your God, and I want you to switch it on this morning because faith has value. By faith, we are credited as righteous before God. Because the law brings wrath, where there's no law, there's no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes again by faith. There it is. So that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only those who are of the law, but those who are of faith of Abraham. So it's all about belief. He's the father of us all. That's everyone who believes. That's not just the people who live under the blessing of the law, but it's those who just believe Jesus. That's everybody. If you want to take part in it, the invitation is open today. As it is written, I've made you the father of many nations. He's our father because inside of God whom he believed. Check this God whom he believed out. The best version of God to me. The God who gives life to the dead and calls the things that are not as though they were. That's my kind of God. Like, who is facing some things in their life that are not, that you're believing as if they were? We serve a God who takes dead things and makes them alive, who calls things that aren't as though they are, and he's doing something for you today in church as you activate faith. Verse 18, I'll keep going. Say, keep going. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations, as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the facts, maybe you want to underline that, faced the facts that his body was as good as dead. Faith is not being oblivious to the facts. It's not being ignorant to the things that you're facing, but it's facing the facts that I don't have the capacity. That my life might not measure up to this promise that I've received, but it says he faced the fact, yet did not waver through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. You have an opportunity as you activate faith to give glory to God, because you realize that it's nothing to do with me and it's actually all about him. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. That's why it was credited to him as righteousness. But the words credited to him were not just for him. Well, that's an exciting invitation. But also for us here on planet Earth today. For us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us, sitting in these seats in C3 Toronto, 12 p.m. service. To whom God will credit righteousness, who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Let me pray as we come around the word this morning. God, thank you so much that you are here. I thank you so much that you're speaking. I thank you so much for the privilege and honor to share your word this morning. Lord, let people hear. Let ears be open. Let hearts be ready to receive your word in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to have a quick sip of water if that's all right. Cool. You ready? Because I'm telling you, the energy's just going to go up and up and up. You're going to be like, what's happening? But it's going to be great. So I'm here to increase your levels of belief this morning, okay? Faith is like a switch on the inside of you, and you decide to turn it on or turn it off. And I want, as you leave here today, as you leave here this afternoon, I want you to realize the importance of your faith, the importance of your belief. The importance of your engagement and your deciding that I'm going to believe what God says regardless of what I see. I'm going to believe the promise that's in here regardless of the result that's out there. Because your faith matters. Your faith matters not just for your life, but for those lives around you that are looking at you. Your faith matters to God. And today, this morning, he's going to switch on that faith on the inside of you as you choose to believe. Oftentimes, I think we get a little bit pushed around by life. Who's felt a bit pushed around by circumstance now and again? A little bit like it says Abraham did not waver in unbelief, but that's like he didn't get pushed around by what he saw. And maybe you've got another doctor's report that didn't line up with what you were hoping for. It's pushing you around a little bit. You went through another job interview process, and you got so close to being offered, but you got that email, hey, sorry, we've gone with another candidate. I'm like, best of luck in the future. And circumstances pushing you around a little bit. Thursday, you went on another first date, and like the chemistry just wasn't there. And you're like, I'm believing God for a relationship, but I'm feeling pushed around by my circumstance a little bit. And I'm here to tell you today that you don't need to be pushed around, that you have an opportunity to turn on faith. You have an opportunity to speak belief and see God move in the name of Jesus. And the end result of our faith, we realize it actually has nothing to do with the circumstance. It says that Abraham believed God, he was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God. So the result of our faith is actually God being glorified. The result of our faith is that we hold an answer on the inside of us to every situation that we face. So regardless of if the situation changes or the situation doesn't change, our perspective changes because we got an answer on the inside of us that glorifies God. Cool? So I hope this will help you this morning to increase your faith. And it starts with point one, which is that faith starts with decision. Faith starts with decision. You need to say yes to belief. You need to choose to say yes to belief. Faith doesn't choose specific people only. Specific people choose faith and miraculous things happen. as you decide, I'm going to be a person of belief, as you decide, I'm going to be a person who stands on the truth that's in here as opposed to what's out there, God does something through your life. And he is doing something through your life today as you choose faith. But it takes a decision. It doesn't take a result of what you see, but it's a result of what you say from what's coming up on the inside of you. God wants us to choose faith today, to decide faith today. But what happens is we often... I've been there. I've often done this. I grew up within the Catholic Church, left for a while, did a whole bunch of stuff I probably shouldn't have done. And then as I'm coming back to this whole process of I can decide faith, there were so many reasons that I thought my life doesn't align with this God that I'm hearing about. Like, I've done, like, all these bad habits, smoke drugs, drink alcohol, all the fun things that I thought were real for me, and I had all these reasons that I couldn't decide faith. I had all these reasons that my life wouldn't measure up to this good God that I've heard about. And you might be here this morning, and you've got all these reasons that you could never measure up. And so why bother deciding on faith, because all these reasons will trump my decision? But I'm telling you, your decision trumps all of those reasons. That as you choose to follow God, it trumps everything that you're facing. People picture sometimes Jesus as like this dishwasher. I don't know if you've ever tried. I'm getting there, Tommy. It'll make sense in a minute. But as you're washing, we need a dishwasher that's more like Jesus. But I don't know about you, unless you like clean off the dishes before you put them in the dishwasher, like you've eaten pasta and it's like, I got to take time and scrub the pasta off this dish, because otherwise I'm going to put it in there and the heat is going to like melt the pasta into the dish. And then 3 weeks from now, I'm pulling the dish out of the cupboard and it's got like 3 week old pasta on it after going through the dishwasher. But we approach our lives with this type of Jesus, that I need to clean up all of these bad habits. I need to clean up all of this crud, all of this gunk from my world. Because if I go into this cleaning process called Jesus, it's not going to cover everything. So I better do all I can to cover everything first. But I'm telling you, Jesus is not like that. That as you decide today to choose faith, all the cleaning off will happen in the process. You don't need to clean off first, decide first. Faith begins with a decision. Here's one promise that's in my Bible, is that we all fall short of the glory of God. That's what Romans says, is that no one has arrived. There is none who does right. There is no one who speaks truth. And that tells me as a pastor that I don't have to measure up. Like, yes, there's a standard of life that I chase after, but I'm reminded that as a human, I am so imperfect. And so I'm thankful that I serve a perfect God, and that by deciding I'm going to believe in him, deciding that he has redeemed my life, deciding that I am on a journey of growth, that I can be made right by that decision. And you have an opportunity today to be made right by that decision. The problem is that we're trying to measure against a standard that we could never live up to, called the law. The law says do, and faith says it's done. The law says be a certain way, and faith says I am a certain way, because this is who God's made me. The law says that we can't, and faith says that I can. And I want you to leave here today saying I can, that I can get past this habit, that I can get past these relationships that I shouldn't be going through. I can, because I'm a person of faith. The law is about me, and faith is actually about him. The one who made you. Because what happens is the law tries to... So if you look at like a criminal who's being convicted for something, what the law does is it tries to measure up whether he's done it or hasn't done it based on the evidence that can be provided. And we sometimes approach God this way, is that God, if you're real, I'm going to find evidence to back up the fact that you're real, that I need to find this part that says that you're true, and I need to find this piece of evidence that backs up the fact that you're real. But what faith does is faith produces the evidence inside of you. That as you decide on faith, you don't worry about the evidence of God. You say, God, God is real, and the evidence starts to bubble up in you, and the things that happen in your life become the evidence. You're like, that must be God. This is God that's pulled me from this situation to that situation. And people look at you and they're like, this is foolish. But the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are being saved. The message of the gospel seems like a foolish thing, that I could actually make a decision and say yes to Jesus, and God now looks at my life as right. That's a crazy thought to wrap your head around. But guess what? You're not God. You didn't set up the agreement. He did. And his thoughts are way better than our thoughts. So let's be people of belief. Let's be people of decision that decide on faith, okay? We try to put God into our perspective without realizing that there is no human equivalency to God. Often that's what keeps people away from God, is I can't box him in to my thinking. And we forget that he said in Isaiah 55, he said that my ways are higher than your ways. So are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God has a way different perspective than you have. And I'm telling you, if you decide on faith this morning, then God's going to do something in your life in the name of Jesus. But it doesn't just take one decision, okay? Like, I've realized this about my marriage, that me just saying I do 9 years ago, that isn't going to sustain me for a 50-year marriage. That's not going to keep me going years down the track. That I need to decide daily that this is my wife who I love so much. Beyond my flaws, beyond my lack of capacity to be a great husband, I'm going to choose to be a great husband today, because I screwed up yesterday and I probably screwed up last week and I'll probably screw up again. But if I decide that I'm going to walk this thing out, then our marriage will flourish. And if you decide on a daily basis to walk out faith for God, your relationship will flourish. Which brings me to my second thought, which is that faith continues with intention. Faith continues with intention. And I want to help you this morning, so I want to leave you with some real things that you can bring home to help continue with this intentional decision of faith, okay? So a few things that have helped my world on this daily deciding. One thing is memorizing scripture, okay? I'm not saying, like Pastor Jess said, I'm memorizing the book of Romans. This has been a long time, and I'm not even that far. I'm like three books in. But If you can take one verse and decide over the next 7 days, next 14 days, that I'm going to memorize this verse, I promise you it will help your world. What happened to me, the reason that I realized this is I work in the construction industry, okay? And I'm doing like project management, people management, problem solving. It's a lot of fun. Who loves solving problems? Who knows that people are problems that need to be solved sometimes? Yeah, you're like, hey, he's a pastor. Is he allowed to say that? I'm talking only about my corporate job, okay? None of you guys create problems for me. What would happen is my world would start to pull my perspective down. And the enemy tries to do this in our world, is he tries to pull your perspective down of who God is by putting like little annoying things in your world. And I work in the construction industry, and it's very derogatory towards women. It's very all about me and self. It's all about putting myself forward. It's all about like enough money, enough budget, enough materials. And it was this horrible atmosphere. And I'm sitting there and going, God, I thought you made like people to ultimately be good. You're like, yes, there's a fallen nature, but aren't you good? And I'm not seeing your goodness in all of this. And so I had to look to the Bible and practically repeat things over my world. And so there was a verse that to me has become one of my life verses, and I'll share it to you. And this doesn't have to be your verse, but I'm saying with whatever you're facing, find scripture that you can commit to memory that speaks against that circumstance. So in 1 John 4, verse 4, it's not on the screen, I don't think, because I didn't tell the team about it, but it says, dear brothers and sisters, remember that you come from God and you belong to God. The Spirit who lives in you, far greater than anything in this world. And I read that, and I was like, man, there's something better in me. So the result that I'm seeing, the frustration in these meetings that I'm facing, there's something far greater that lives in me. And there is something for you. There is a promise in here for you that if you can search the Bible and find one verse that you could commit to your memory for the next year, I promise it'll change your world. And then you'll realize, man, one verse, that's just not enough. And you're going to want to remember another verse. You're going to want to commit like five. Next year is going to be five verses that you're going to memorize. But I'm trying to help you this morning that faith takes intention and intentional things. Like, I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pick verses to memorize because they help me. Takes intentional things like living a devoted prayer life. It's you don't always have the C3 Toronto band up on stage. You don't have Josh Ray on the drums, like bringing this Holy Spirit vibe in a place. And there's these pretty lights flying around. You wake up on Monday morning, it's like, oh, the alarm clock. It's already 6 o'clock in the morning, really? And you like drag yourself out of bed. But I'm telling you, these intentional things take a little bit of work, but the work is so worth it. If you could commit yourself to this decision of faith, commit yourself to walking out relationship on a daily basis, it'll change your world. I know that the word changes our faith perspective, because in Romans it says that faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. That's the truth that's in here. You got to get the word in your world if you want faith to increase. We think that if I want faith to increase, I just need to access more belief. But then we forget to access the belief that lives on pages for us, readily accessible today. Read your Bible, pray, spend time with God, and your faith will increase. It takes a little bit of work from us, but the work is fully worth it. I'm telling you, it's not about ignoring the facts. I love that it says Abraham faced the fact that his body was nearly 100 years old, that Sarah's womb seemed dead. Faith doesn't ignore all the circumstances that we're facing. It sees them and it recognizes that we serve a God who's way bigger than these circumstances. That the promise that he said still stands regardless of what I see. And that's the type of people that I am in the process of becoming. And it's a process, trust me. Let me share a little bit of my process that happened in our first year of marriage. Any engaged couples in the room getting ready for marriage? Thank you, Tommy. Tommy was in the last service, so he's unsure if he should raise his hand because he's like, what does this mean? I'm going to share a quick story. Hopefully it won't scare you too bad. Just about Vanessa and my first year of marriage. It was a tough season, okay? So here's the deal. You might be facing a tough season right now. And the hope of me sharing this story is that I could relate to you a little bit, that faith for me has been a daily decision. Faith for me has been a daily choosing that God's going to show up, a daily deciding that what he says is actually for me and it's not against me. So Vanessa and I, we were in our first year of marriage. We got married. I was on an internship. The cash was flowing. It was great working for 16 months full time. The first time I'm working as like an engineer, I'm like, this is great. And we, by the glory of God, through that, we bought a condo, which was awesome. And then 4 months later, I had to go back to school, and I was taking 6 courses at a university level, fourth year of engineering, and it was a lot of work. So initially, I was like, I could keep working part-time. Don't worry. It'll be all right. God is good. He's our provider. We got this. And then I got into school. I'm like, this is way too hard. I gotta cut out my work. Babe, we've got some savings. You think this will be all right? She's like, yeah, it'll probably be all right. Oh my goodness, please. Lord, help us. So I quit working. Vanessa was also in school. She was working about 20 hours a week. And our income did not surpass our outflow of money. We continued to tithe off of Vanessa's income because I believed the principle of tithing from the Bible. I believe that 10% is God's. None of it belongs to me, so I ought to return 10% to him. And it was stressful. My goodness, I remember week by week seeing the dollars and cents in our bank account decreasing, and I was like, what is happening in the middle of all this? Like, I believe we serve a God who provides, but I'm not seeing his provision in this. Vanessa and I would eat, pasta, spaghetti. Spaghetti's really cheap. You can buy a big box that'll feed you for like probably 3 months for about $3, okay? Any starving students? And often we would also put tuna on the pasta. If you go to Costco, you can buy like 40 cans of tuna for $9. That's 40 meals for like $12, guys. That's pretty good. So we would cook up some spaghetti, and we would open a can of delicious tuna. I'll probably never look at tuna the same way again. Maybe put a little bit of salt and pepper on it. If we're feeling really fancy, it's like, babe, it's date night. Reach into the fridge and grab that can of pretend Parmesan cheese. You know, the stuff that smells like farts? Yeah. Put that on the pasta. This was our life for a season where we started to look at this awesome thing that had happened, that we had bought a house. We started to look at it as a burden because our mortgage payment kept coming out. And we started to look at like what was happening. Does God really provide? Like, I'm not feeling like God's provide. Me as a husband, I felt like such a failure. I'm like, I'm supposed to be leading my home. I'm supposed to be supporting my wife and moving forward in life. And I didn't feel at all like I was moving forward in life. I remember in December, so like 6 months after we had gotten married, it was December 2010, and Vanessa ran over a patch of black ice, and she crashed into the car in front of her. And we didn't have insurance that paid for our car because we could only afford the insurance that paid for the liability. And she pretty well totaled our car. We lived in Calgary where, I don't know if you've been to Calgary, but you need a car there. Ain't getting anywhere on Calgary Transit. It's slightly worse than the TTC. But she crashed our car. We didn't have the finance to pay for it. A couple weeks, we decided, you know what, we need the car, so we'll pay for it. There's another bill that I was like, how does God provide through all this? And then 2 weeks later, I remember looking at our bank account, $3.77. Our mortgage payment was coming up. I don't know if for those of you who pay rent or pay mortgage, it was slightly more expensive than $3.77. And I was like, how is God, who provides, going to work in all of this? And my perspective was so decreased. And it was me, my world, my problems, my situation, what's happening. But looking back on that, here I am 10 years later, 9 years later, I'm living in the best friggin' city in the world, pastoring the best church in Toronto, like living with the best people. If I had the perspective of this back then, it would have been easy. But God needed me to shift my perspective back to him and say, regardless of what I see, you are a good God. Regardless of what I see, you provide. Regardless of what I see, you have a way out. There is a way out of your situation. Which brings me to my third thought, if the keys could come up, and that's that our faith positions us in Christ. Your faith puts you in a place where you're actually in God. You're situated in perfection just by belief. It says that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. This is the finished work of the cross, is that by believing Jesus, we have right relationship with God. By believing in him, we have access to all of heaven. By saying yes to God, our problems begin to fall away because we're given such a higher perspective that is from him. But the problem is we often focus our belief on the situation rather than focusing our belief on the one who can change the situation. We pray to God, God, move this mountain. Maybe you're facing a mountain of debt and you know that your prayer life lately has been, God, I thank you that you cancel every debt. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who provides and you have a way to provide for this financial turmoil that I'm facing. God, and your whole prayer life, your whole thought life is occupied by this problem. And we pray to this God about this problem rather than praying to God that He is the answer. Rather than focusing ourselves that my belief puts me in Christ. My belief puts me in position with Him. My belief causes the problems to go away because I'm rooted in the answer. And your belief today can root you in an answer. And His name is Jesus. And so maybe you're in this room and you've never walked with Jesus before. You've never started this relationship. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand and say yes to this relationship. I'm not saying that all the problems are going to stop coming. In fact, probably more problems will come up this week. But you will have an answer on the inside of you. Maybe you're here and you've walked with God before. You've been in this relationship before. But you know in your heart of hearts that the focus of your faith, the focus of your belief, the focus and the outcome of your life has not been centered in God, has not been fully committed to Christ. I'm going to ask you in a minute to lift up your hand and say, yeah, I want to be included in this prayer. All this is a moment that says, I'm choosing Jesus and I'm believing that my life is right with God because of this. So if I can ask everyone to quickly close your eyes, bow your head. This is a moment between you and God. And if you're either of those two types of people, number one, you never met God, you want to start today. Number two is you've walked with Him before, but you know you need to return to Him this morning. With every eye closed and every head bowed, can I?